no goals, no confidence, always looking for validation from others. Either I continue on this path and I knew it wouldn't end well, or I had to make a change right then and there. Obviously, I made that decision to really take the step and make the change and be committed to it. Being around influential people in your life that have values that you want to adopt, that have qualities that are qualities of a winner, are going to get you to that next level.
Welcome to the Thought Leader Revolution with Nikki Ballou. Join the revolution. There's never been a better time in history to speak your truth, find your freedom, and make your fortune. Each week, we interview the world's top thought leaders and learn the secrets of how they built a 6 to 7 figure practice. This episode has been brought to you by eCircleAcademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.
Welcome to the exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. I'm your host, Nikki Ballou. And boy, do we have another exciting guest lined up for you today. Today's guest is a part of my GOAT mentor, Amer, the Hammer, Camera's incredible fitness team. She is a true expert in helping folks, all kinds of folks, get fit, get in shape, get their confidence back. And this is a woman on a mission. I am speaking, of course, of none other than the one, the only, the legendary Mia Durston. Welcome to the show, Mia.
Thank you very much, Nikki. I really, really appreciate you having me here today.
It's my pleasure. So, Mia, this show is for freedom-loving entrepreneurs, the crazy ones, the misfits, the round pegs and the square holes. And they're here because they're not fond of rules. They're not fond of the status quo. And they want to get to the next level everywhere in their life. They're not here for me. I'm here every week. They're here for you. But before they can open themselves up to you, they got to get to know you. How'd you get to become the great Mia Durston?
Definitely. All right. I'll give you a little bit of a backstory here on me. So I grew up with a single mom near Toronto. And, you know, we always kind of struggled. It was really tough being at home, especially with my dad. So I was able to build a really huge shield from a young age and kind of numb myself from any negativity. But outwardly, I've always been a very positive and happy kid. And truthfully, I try to see the good in practically every situation. But to get me through all of that, what I did was I ended up going into gymnastics, which I absolutely love. So I would go to school, come home for maybe an hour, and then go right into gymnastics. So it was really an escape for me. It also gave me incredible structure and discipline and ultimately confidence in my life. But, you know, eventually when I was about, say, 15, I got a really bad concussion and I was off for a long time and I ended up not going back to train any longer. I ended up quitting altogether. And that's when everything went a little downhill for me. So I went from being constantly busy and distracted to having absolutely nothing going on. And it was the first time that I really had to face my life and my feelings. And I came to realize I was actually really insecure. I had no confidence in any area of my life any longer because that was gymnastics for me. You know, I was shy. I didn't like the way I looked. And on top of that, at that time, my mom got sick, which obviously made everything a lot harder and made me really unhappy. And eventually, what ended up happening was I started to use food and alcohol as a way to cope. And they were a way to make me feel temporarily good, to escape from those negative feelings that I finally had to face. And, you know, it made me lose myself for a pretty long time. No goals, no confidence, always looking for validation from others. And I hit that really low point, had a big breakdown. And at that very moment, I had a decision that I had to make after that breakdown. It was either I continue on this path, and I knew it wouldn't end well, or I had to make a change right then and there. And obviously, I made that decision to really take the step and make the change and be committed to it. So how I did that, ultimately was I got my butt in the gym. I started to work out. I started to take care of my body and bring back that structure and that discipline into my life that I missed. And lucky enough, my mom started actually working with Amer. She got coached by him, and I started looking at his content and was immediately sold by him. You know, I had actually never seen anyone like him, a business like that in my life, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it. So lucky enough, I got to work with Amer, and I have never looked back from that moment. You know, I've been putting my all into becoming a better version of myself, and now here I am as a coach for Lady BFF, and helping other women, you know, set goals, build confidence and discipline in their life, and overall have a happier and healthier life. And I couldn't be more grateful for that, but that's pretty much where I started and how I got to be a coach right now for Lady BF Up.
So one of the things that I've noticed, because I've also interviewed Rima, and actually her interview's out today, and I interviewed Lindsay Martins as well. And a common theme in the conversation I've had with each of you three ladies is that there was a period of personal adversity that you all went through, a period where things weren't looking good. We live in a very victim-oriented culture. Everyone's encouraged to be a victim. It's okay. It's not your fault, you know, but there's no solution that's offered to these victims. They're just told, it's cool, be a victim, be a loser. And what I want to understand from you is what thought process, what realization deep in your heart and soul allowed you to break free from the victim mentality? Because you also, as you said, you grew up with a single mom, right? I mean, society's telling you you're meant to lose from the get-go. You're from a broken home type of thing. You know what I mean? You know, you had an injury. It's not your fault. How did you not buy into that? That's what I want to understand. So dig for me a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I said, that structure, that discipline, I always knew I felt good doing that. So it's almost like I had a glimpse into my potential, into how good I could feel when I'm not being lazy, when I'm going after goals, when I have something going for me. Even though it was at a young age, I got to experience all of that. And it was really knowing that, okay, I have the potential to do more, but I'm sitting here and I'm doing nothing about it. I'm drinking, I'm eating crappy food. Why am I doing that when I could be out there making a change, helping other people, whatever it might be, right? So it was being able to look back to that moment, to how good I used to feel. This is how I should feel. I should feel that good. I should be doing hard things. But right now I'm laying around feeling bad about myself. And ultimately, I knew it was up to me if I wanted to make the change. I could either sit around, I could complain about nothing happening, I could go into a depression, whatever it might have been. But it was up to me to make that change. I knew that, I acknowledged it, and I said, I'm either going to commit or I'm not going to commit. So it was really just putting my head down and putting in the work, because I knew there was no other option. It was very, very clear to me because of how low of a point I hit. It was clear that that would be the reality of my life, that I would be that unhappy forever. I would only keep going down a poor path, or I'd have to make the change. So it was really just, do I really want to be that unhappy forever? Am I really going to fall into that victim mentality, into that depression, that unhappiness for my entire life? No, I know my potential. I know that I can do more. So I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to work my butt off, even if I don't want to all the time, and I'm going to commit to it. And that's essentially what I did.
And I think that's fantastic. And I want to stay with this question for a bit, because I want to mine this a little bit more deeply. It's what you said here that really struck me was you said, I wanted to do hard things.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is a good name for this episode, Do Hard Things with Mia Durston, right?
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's a good name for the episode. And I also think it's a good metaphor for life, because the people who win in life do hard things. I teach people how to win in getting business. I'm really good at organic methods of getting business, like, you know, non-spending money on advertising, or not just posting on social media hoping someone's going to see it and call you. I'm talking about picking up the phone and making a phone call with a real human being. I'm talking about going to your clients and asking them for a referral, not waiting for them to give you a referral if they feel like it, right? I'm talking about going on podcasts like this with a structured talk. You know what I'm trying to say? And to me, that sort of thing is powerful. That sort of thing is what can be valuable and useful for someone to do. Do the hard things. You're saying do the hard things. You taught yourself to do the hard things. But how did you resist the message of society? Because I'm sure you heard it, right? I'm sure you had plenty of people around you telling you, Mia, it's okay. You're going to be fine. It's not your fault. I can hear people. I don't even know you outside of this conversation yet. We just met briefly in this call. But I'm sure. I can just tell you're a sweet person. You got a lot of people around you that love you, that know you. They gave you those messages. How'd you resist them?
It was actually pretty bad for me. I had practically everyone around me telling me I was doing too much, especially at my age, right? I got really into working out and started working with Amber when I was about 19. So it was hard, right? Everyone around me is partying, drinking. They really don't care about their future or don't act like it. And me, on the other hand, was completely different. I was only focused on my future, on doing hard things, on waking up at 5 a.m, whatever it might be. But I actually cut off a lot of people in my life. I heard something before that relationships are like seasons, and you are with different people at different times of your life because they may provide value to you at that time. And it's something that I learned to acknowledge. And, you know, even though I had many friends, or I would hang out with family members a lot, whatever it might have been, I knew that they didn't always have to be in my life. I knew that I didn't have to hang out with them all the time, and that I had to put myself first. So I really did kind of step out of a lot of friendships, to be honest, and not associate with a lot of people anymore, because that's what I had to do. And they did take it really roughly at the beginning, but the ones that actually root for me and the ones that actually want to see me do good and be happy in life, they're still there with me now. They're still supporting me. Even if I'm not hanging out with people or going out, they support that because they know that at the end of the day, this is what will make me happy. And the ones that didn't support me, the ones that were trying to bring me back down with them, well, they're not in my life anymore. But it was really just taking a look and really assessing the relationships in my life and deciding who was good for me, who was ultimately providing me some type of value in that relationship, and who wasn't. And the ones that weren't, they're not in my life anymore. It's that simple. It was really just ending a lot of relationships.
Well, I want to tell you a little story. I really like that story. I like it a lot, because it takes guts to say no to relationships and mm-hmm. friendships. But I also think that in this day and age, people call people their friend that are not really their friend. They're just a good acquaintance. You know what I mean? A friend is an honored title. Like that, it's a big deal in my world. It's a really, really big deal. And I don't have a lot of friends. I know a lot of people. I don't have a lot of friends. So yeah. I want to tell you this story. I have a mentor in business. His name's Mark Von Muser. He used to be Tony Robbins' director of coaching and training. And years ago, when I started working with him, he taught me about something he called the law of proximity. Mm-hmm. Who you are in proximate relationship with matters. Who you're close to, who's around you matters. Another way to say it is, you know, you're the sum of the five people you're closest to, right?
Yeah.
And Mark talked about Tony Robbins, because Tony Robbins is a world famous success coach and guru, right? At the time, he was making about $10 million a year, which is a lot of money for most people. But Tony had some clients who made hundreds of millions a year. And one of them is former Miami Heat and Lakers coach Pat Riley, right? He's the guy who coached Magic Johnson back in the day and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and those guys. And so he invited Tony to go to an event with a group of peers of his called the Scorpions. It was like 10 days. They're almost all billionaires. And it costs $50,000 to go there. And you'd have to take 10 days out of your business. And Tony was trying to get out of it. Like, I mean, he could come up with the 50 grand, but he'd have to move some money around. And, you know, the real thing for him was to take the time off because he, at the time, was doing 330 days a year doing his courses and all that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was telling Pat, and he was trying to say, Pat, I appreciate the invite, but, and then Pat said, Tony, hold up. I just invited you to spend 10 days with 25 of the richest, most successful, most influential people in the world. This invitation doesn't get given to everybody. And for $50,000, you're going to be in conversations that will open you up to billions. He said, Tony, you're my friend and mentor, but I'm going to tell you, this is, you're not doing this, right? He basically told him, you're not doing this. So he found a way, he came up with the cash, which wasn't that big a deal, but the time.
Yeah.
And he said that he was blown away by being in proximity, like close to these people in relationship. And there was a dude who was telling him about how he made $500 million in a single day. Mm-hmm. And Tony's like, wow, I'd like to do that. And the guy says, well, you know, you could do this, this, and this. You could be part of an IPO we're doing, and you could start your own IPO. How do I do that? He says, well, you got to go meet these guys on Wall Street. I'll make some calls for you. And Mia, you heard that, right? I'll make some calls for you.
Yeah.
A few months later, Tony Robbins did an IPO deal that in one day made him $400 million.
Wow.
In one day. And he has become the biggest proponent of the law of proximity. Who you are around matters. And for you to take that next leap, that 10X leap, which Dan Sullivan talks about in his books and his work, you need to do a few things. You need to shed the old relationships and you need to bring in the new relationships.
Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, when I started, I'd say, getting rid of relationships in my life, I was still actually living at school. So I would pretty much lock myself in my bedroom. I luckily had a huge room. I do work in there all day. Barely ever come out to kind of interact with the people there because I realized that those interactions weren't worth anything to me anymore. So why was I wasting my time on them? And then ultimately I moved back home, which was really nice, having my own space away from people that really weren't worth my time. And, you know, now, like you said, surround yourself with people you want to be more like, or you want to adopt some of their values or get something from them, right? And ultimately, that's where I am now. I'm working with Amber and the whole team there, and I've never been a part of such a big group of like-minded, hardworking individuals. It's honestly insane that I get to be a part of it because they're incredible, as you know.
Yeah, Amara is the real deal, no question about it. I don't know how much you know about my story of working with Amara, but I started February 2nd last year. Mm-hmm. When I started working with him, I weighed 227 pounds. I used to be a fitness coach, but I stopped that. I got into the world of business, and I gained over 50 pounds in mm-hmm. a dozen years. And in 6 months, I went from 227 to 169. So it was a 58-pound drop. And it got to the point where my girlfriend, Teresa, said, you're too skinny. You need to put some muscle back on. And I go, yeah, you're right. And I went to Amber and I said, look, I look funny. And he goes, yeah, we just wanted to drop the weight. He says, now we're going to shape you. And I said, yeah. I think I should enter a competition. So I'm doing a competition in Barrie at the end of July.
Amazing. And, good for you.
I've been eating to gain. So I'm back mm-hmm. up to 187, 180, 186, 187. Yeah. And the objective So I'm my conditioning isn't what it was when I was 169. It's not much, much worse. I'm eating three times as much as I did during the drop weight phase. But interestingly enough, last week I actually lost weight, even though I'm eating a lot more, and he even made me eat more last week. I said, I feel like my waist is shrinking and I feel lighter. And he said, okay, so I think we need to give you a little bit more carbs. And he did. I was also brutally tired. Like these to failure workouts had me utterly exhausted, like just nervous system shutdown. But he says, okay, let's add just 75 grams of potato to one of your meals. I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound like a lot, but all right. Boom, I got energy again. I'm not tired. It's crazy. Just that little tweak, what it did. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's truly one of a kind at his craft. So at the end of the day, me being able to be around people like that and absorb all the information and qualities and whatnot from them is amazing.
I agree. You're part of a very special team at a lot of levels, you know, both from the point of view of learning the knowledge of how to train people, as well as from the point of view of learning how to be successful in life. Amr teaches people how to think like a winner. So that's great.
And like you said, kind of opening your mind to what is possible and how much you really can do and can handle. Because if I weren't with a group of individuals like them, I truly don't think I'd be where I am today, because they wouldn't understand what I'm actually capable of. Sure, I'd be pushing my potential and whatnot, but nothing like I am now. It'd be completely different, because they really opened my eyes to say, you know, how many clients you can work with and how much work you can do in a day and how often you should be working and what it really does take to win, which I wouldn't have understood on my own. So completely agree, being around influential people in your life that have values that you want to adopt, that have qualities that are qualities of a winner, are going to get you to that next level.
100%, 100%. The thing that I really, really respect about Amr and the team, before we move on to my next question, is they really want their people to get results. And not every coach in every arena does that. I'm really keen on getting people results. It's one of my pet peeves is I hired a lot of people. And listen, I get something from everybody I've ever hired, but they didn't necessarily care about getting me a result all the time. But I really appreciate that Amr and the team are very focused on that.
Yeah.
So a lot of your clients are women, yes, in Lady the F Up. What's the key complaint that these women have that they voice, and what's the complaint that they have but maybe they're not even aware they have it yet? The complaint they have that has them go, I need a coach, right? What is the key complaint that makes them come to you that they voice, and what's the complaint that maybe they feel but they are not able to yet give it voice? And over time you help them say, you know what I'm talking about, right? What's in their blind spot?
So definitely women are coming to me, coming to the team to change their body. It all starts with, you know, wanting to go to the gym for vanity, for how you look to other people, right? It's, oh, my glutes aren't big enough. My waist isn't tiny enough. I have too much body fat, whatever it might be. It's for that vanity, which is completely normal. We all have that. We all want to work out and get fit to look better for yourself and for other people. But the complaint that they often don't realize is, you know what, I am so insecure. I have no confidence anymore. I don't feel comfortable in front of my significant other. I don't feel comfortable wearing specific clothes. It's more of that deep down issue that they don't realize they have initially, right? I'll hop on a call with someone and it's like, yeah, you know, I want to get strong. So I can have a bigger butt or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? There's more to it than that. There's a reason why you feel so down. There's a reason why you don't like your body. And it's really trying to help women understand how to build that confidence from within, not searching for the validation from other people anymore. Because like I said, it starts with vanity and it ends up being so much more than that at the end of the day. That's, you know, something that really got me into working out as well, was really wanting to change the way my body looked. And then it ended up taking me on a whole journey. And, you know, you learn discipline, you learn how to be resilient, and it ultimately transpires into all other areas of your life. But you don't realize that starting out that you need that or that you'll get that.
Great answer. Great answer. See, inside of the work I do with my clients, the number one thing I want to know is, first of all, who do you work with? Who do you help, right? And then secondly, why is that important to you to help these people? Not why is it important to you to make a certain amount of money? I mean, we all need money. We all want money. I'm for money. I want to just be clear. I'm not anti-money. I'm very for money. Money's great. And you should make a lot of money. But there has to be something beyond that, because otherwise it becomes soul crushing to just do something for the money. You got to have a desire, a sincere desire to make a difference in the life of another human being if you're in a coaching profession, a helping profession, right? Secondly, I want to know, what are the problems these people face? Why do they come and see you? And if you're not able to articulate that for yourself, it's one of the key things I help people do, is I help them articulate the problem that their people have. And then the other thing, and this is the part that I'm really excited about and I'm passionate about, and I'm, as a result, I spend a lot of time working it, and so I'm really good at it, is I help people make sure they get clients and they get paid, because good people should make money. That's the way I see it. You know, good people deserve a lot of money in their pockets. But this question that I asked you really is the foundation of how to make that process effective for yourself. So if someone is interested in the work that you do specifically and your organization does, Mia, what is the best way for them to engage with you and get into the entry point of making a decision around whether this coaching makes sense for them or not?
Well, really, I know you said something about doing more than social media and organic methods before, but really I'm primarily on social media. So, you know, taking a look at my Instagram, seeing if I would be a good fit for you, if the company would be a good fit, because ultimately we are all very, very committed to our job. And we truly, as we just talked about, want to change people's lives. So it's not just another PDF you can find online. It's us working one-on-one to completely get you to that next level. And you do have to be completely invested. So obviously I want the women that do want to work with me to be committed and actually be ready to make the change. And, you know, they could figure that out by maybe taking a look at my social media, DMing me, having a little chat, whatever that might be, to see if I'd be a good
fit. What's your number one channel you want people to connect with you, and what is your handle on it?
Yeah. So right now, primarily Instagram. I'm about to start YouTube, which will be really fun too. But right now it's MIAA and then LIFTS. So Mia with a double A and then Lifts. That's primarily what I'm on right now.
Mia Lifts. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll make sure that gets on the people. So look, offline, I'm going to tell you, that's great. Keep doing that, but you need to do some organic stuff over and above that. Coming on podcasts is good. You know, there's a way to do it, to get on more podcasts. I will have a chat with you offline about it. I've spoken to Amber about it, and we're actually trying to get a time for me to come and speak to your team, and I'm going to follow up with them on that. But since I got you here, I'll talk to you about it offline. I think that's a great thing to do. I believe that the stuff your team puts on Instagram is, you know, it's not all fluff, thankfully, right? Because you got to put a little bit of pizzazz and bling into it. I get it. People need that. But there's good nuggets of information in every little video I see. Either that or it's fun and campy, like if it's Jay Stevens, man. That dude has some like stupid funny videos on his page. But everybody else always comes up with, hey, you thought about this, you're thinking about that. And I think that's good. I think that gets people to at least think for a moment, and that'll make them more apt to want to find out more. So that'll be there. So Mia, we end off every episode by asking you, as our guest expert, what are your top three, what I call expert action steps? These are your best three pieces of advice for our listener to have a better life, have a better body, have more confidence. So what do you say? Bullet points, short and sweet.
All right. Number one, It is never too late to make a change, no matter where you're at, no matter your circumstances. You know, if you took a look where I was at and where I am now, that proves to you, if you take a look at majority of successful people, as we talked about, they come from a lower point. And it's never too late to make that change, to start and to go after your goals. So if you're unhappy, you just have to go for it. Number two would be to, I'd say, stop worrying so much about what other people think. You know, you're going to build confidence from within, not from validation from other people. And you worrying about other people's opinions of you all the time is just taking away from your time and your goals and your future. So if you want something, go after it. Stop worrying about the people around you. And number three, as we talked about before, would be to start doing hard things. You know, it might feel bad temporarily, but long term, you're going to be stronger mentally and physically. You're going to be more resilient. It will compound and really pay off. And you're never going to be happy if you're just comfortable and complacent your entire life, never challenging yourself. So I would pair that with going to the gym, starting to work out as a way to do hard things.
Yeah, so that's kind of a bonus one, right? We got the top three expert action steps, and the bonus one is go to the gym.
Yeah. That can be a hard thing that you do, right?
Amen. Amen. Mia Durston, thanks for coming on the show. You're a ray of sunshine in a dark world. Keep doing what you're doing, and I know you're going to go from success to success. God bless you.
Thank you, Nikki, for having me.
My pleasure. And that wraps up another exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. To find out more about today's amazing guest, go to the show notes at thethoughtleaderrevolution.com. Go check her out on Instagram at Mia with two A's Lifts, and make sure that you do what she said, do the hard things, and whatever is on your mind that you've been telling yourself you really want this, go for it. Go for it. Life's too short to have regrets.
Until this episode has been brought to you by ecircleacademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.